Mr. Paul Schimmett.
25 centuries ago, a prophet was heard calling men and women to the right priorities. It was an urgent voice, but a voice of encouragement and a call to action that echoes to us today and calling us to respond as well. That prophet's message is found in one of the shortest books of the Bible. It's one of the minor prophets, but it's filled with challenge and promise, reminding us of God's claim on our lives and priorities, and reminding us to continue to give careful thought to our ways. And that book that we're going to go through is only two chapters, but we're going to go through the book of Haggai today. And let's see what lessons that this has for all of us. Haggai was the first of the post-exilic prophets. That is, he was the first prophet after the Jews came back from exile and came back to Jerusalem. The other two prophets were Zechariah and Malachi. So Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. As we re-examine and study the book of Haggai, let's remind ourselves of the work God has given for each of us to do, and let this message be from Haggai, let this message be a catalyst for us to finish that work and to keep moving forward. A little background about the book of Haggai before we get into it. In 586 BC, the armies of Babylon had come to destroy the temple in Jerusalem, and they did in 586 BC. This is because of the disobedience of the people, and God had warned them, but the armies came in 586 and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. This was God's house. This was the symbol of God's presence with them. So how devastating must that have been to those Jews who witnessed that and who experienced that? But as God promised that 70 years later, that temple would be rebuilt. In 536 BC, King Cyrus decreed that the Jews could return to their beloved city and rebuild the temple. That must have been very exciting to them. So they traveled to Jerusalem and they began the work on rebuilding the temple. But then things happened and they forgot their purpose. They lost their priorities a little bit as opposition and apathy brought the work to a standstill. So the work was halted in 530 BC, and it wasn't resumed until about 520 BC, and then the temple was finished in 516 BC. Let's read a little bit more of the background. We'll go to the book of Ezra. Let's go to Ezra, chapter 4. And we'll just read a few verses here that's a little bit of the background. And this is talking about the resistance to the rebuilding of the temple and some of the things that those people had to deal with. It says in verse 1 of Ezra 4, it says, "Now when the adversaries or the enemies of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord God of Israel, they came to Zerubbabel and the heads of the fathers' houses and said to them, 'Let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do. And we have sacrificed to him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Assyria, who brought us here.'" Verse 3, "But Zerubbabel and Joshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel said to them, 'You may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us.' Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building." So there was a lot of opposition. "And they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia." So this went on for a while, and it must have been very difficult and discouraging. You know, as we go about our daily lives, these things can happen to us too. We can get discouraged and frustrated. We can get so busy with our daily lives and we can get tired and we find obstacles to things that we're trying to do. And Satan tries to sidetrack us from our calling and from our vocation. These things can happen to us too. So the message of Haggai is for us to consider our ways and to keep moving forward. Don't get discouraged. We must continually refocus on our calling and future and reason for being and keep alive the spark and the joy we have in the Lord. We have that spark. We must keep it alive. Remember the joy and the excitement that we all experienced during the Feast of Tabernacles? We want to maintain that excitement. We endeavor to maintain and enhance that throughout the year. But it's a constant refocusing and a constant reconsidering of our priorities and what we are letting happen in our own lives. And, you know, we're all so very busy. It's very easy to get busy and weighed down with things. So it can be a challenge. Well, let's begin reading in the book of Haggai. As I said, it's one of the post-exilic prophets. So it's toward the end of the minor prophets. It's between Zephaniah and Zechariah. So we'll turn there. Verse 1, the command to build God's house. In the second year of King Darius, in the sixth month, I think this was about August, on the first day of the month, so this is the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying. And I'd like to read what God says here out of the Living Bible. I think it kind of makes it a little bit more alive to us. So I'm going to read that from the Living Bible. You can follow along in the King James. Okay, verse 2. Why is everyone saying it's not the right time for rebuilding my temple? Asks the Lord. His reply to them is this. Is it then the right time for you to live in luxurious homes when the temple lies in ruins? Look at the result. You plant much but harvest little. You have scarcely enough to eat or drink and not enough clothes to keep you warm. Your income disappears as though you were putting it into pockets filled with holes. So God is chiding the people here through the prophet Haggai by asking them a question. Is it right for you to be all involved in your own things and completely neglect the rebuilding of the temple of God? And the answer, of course, is no. And so in verse 5, he says, therefore, thus says the Lord, consider your ways. That is, give careful thought to your ways. You know, we're not exactly in the same position that these people were in, because when we were called, we responded to God's call, and we said that it is the right time to build the temple when we were called and when we were baptized. So we all agree it was the right time. And so the thing for us, though, is to maintain that and continue in God's way. Okay, so we need to ask ourselves this, to give careful thought to our ways on a regular basis. We see in verse 6, as I just read, that God withheld his blessing from them because they did not put him first in their lives. They were completely neglecting God and the temple of God. And remember, the temple was a symbol of God's presence among them. The temple was the focal point of Judah's relationship with God, so they were totally denying the relationship with God. The people were caring only about their own needs and ignoring the relationship with God. For us, we need to continually groom and enhance our relationship with God. Okay, verse 7 repeats the same thing that verse 5 says. So it's very important. The Lord says, the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So again, he repeats it. Okay, there's a New Testament, corresponding New Testament admonition to us that says pretty much the same thing. So let's go there and just look at it briefly. It's in 2 Corinthians 13. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. That is, prove and test yourselves. Consider it, look at it. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Jesus Christ is in us, unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you know that we are not disqualified. But we do need to consider our ways and examine ourselves. Another corresponding scripture would be 1 Corinthians 3. Let's go over there, 1 Corinthians 3. And let's pick it up in verse 9. It's talking about building our own temple, for we, you and I, are the temple of God, aren't we? So we need to be building. In verse 9 it says, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, you are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it. But notice this, it says, but let each one take heed how he builds on it. So we need to consider our ways and consider how we are building on the foundation. Are there ways that we can do more, can do better? I know I look at my own life and I say, oh yes, I can do better. I can pray more for the work. I can pray more specifically for the work. Fast more often. Things like that. Okay, let's go back to Haggai. Didn't keep my place there. Okay, we're back in Haggai. And let's look at verses 8 and 9. It says, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You looked for much, but indeed it came too little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord? Because my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house, totally neglecting God's temple. God, his work, and our collective and personal relationship to God must be number one in importance and the highest priority. It must be our first love, always. Our hearts should be in God's work. Are we supporting it in tithes and offerings and in our heartfelt prayers? Okay, let's read verses 12 and 13 now. We're still in chapter 1. Okay, verse 12. Well, here comes the response. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent them. And the people feared the presence of the Lord. So the people had a good response. You know, God is with us. He encourages us because we have responded to him. As I said, we have already stated that we are the temple of God, and it's time to be building, not later on. And so God is with us, and he gives us a lot of encouragement, as we'll see here coming up. You know, remember that Jesus said he would never leave us or forsake us, and that he would build his church. The gates of hell would not prevail against it. So we have a lot of encouragement as we are building our temple and supporting the work. So let's look at verse 14, chapter 1. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. And they came and they worked on the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. On the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. So remember that the message first came, Haggai's first message came in verse 1. It came the first day of the sixth month, and this was 23 days later on the 24th day that they began, they responded and they began to work. Chapter 2. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying. Now, this was the seventh month, so this was about October 520 BC. This was during the Feast of Tabernacles that this message was given by the prophet. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? And so what's going on here is the people are seeing, well, the temple that we're rebuilding is nowhere near the glory of the old temple of Solomon. The older people could remember the incredible beauty of Solomon's temple that was destroyed 66 years earlier. And so many were discouraged because the rebuilt temple looked like it was going to be just a fraction of, or just a small remnant of what was Solomon's temple. You know, in the same way, we could look and say, well, you know, when in the worldwide days, in the worldwide Church of God, we had magazines and broadcasts and everything. We were all over the world, and then we had the big falling away, and then we had all the church splits, and that can be discouraging. But the message here, as we're going to see, is don't be discouraged, because God is going to do a great work and is doing a great work. And so we, in the same way, need to take courage and not get discouraged. Let's notice something on that in the New Testament. I think I will turn to, let's go to Galatians 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Here God tells us, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So we need to continue working, and God will give a tremendous increase. Notice that in verse 4, let's look at verse 4. And it says, yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord. And be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord. And work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. In the same way with us, God says that we should be strong and we should be working, and that God is with us. He's given us many, many times he has told us that he is with us. Okay, so God... Haggai encouraged them with God's message that the glory of this temple would surpass its predecessor. Let's read on. Verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. God did not take his spirit away from the people. He says, do not fear. And how many times have we seen in God's word where God says, do not fear? For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, it is a little while, I will shake the heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. So God is going to give a tremendous increase. It's going to be a magnificent physical temple, and of course we are the temple of God. It's going to be a marvelous spiritual temple, and people will wonder in amazement at it. So we see here, let's just go, I think we'll go to a New Testament scripture showing that we are God's temple. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3 again, and let's read verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3. And verse 16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? So here we're told directly that we are the temple of God. And again, 1 Corinthians 3, back to verse 9, it says, you are God's building. So we are the temple of God, and we need to be continue to work on our temple. Judah's people had returned to worshiping God, and they had promised, God had promised to bless their efforts, which he did. But it was time for them to work. And it's our time now to continue the work that we're doing. Now is the time. God kept his promise and never left them. Jesus promised us as well that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. And as I said, he promised not to leave us or forsake us, that he is with us. So he encourages us. Well, what is some of the work that God has given us to do? Supporting the preaching of the gospel with tithes and offerings. Do we think about once in a while the tithes and the offerings that we give and what good it is doing? And our prayers. Are we praying regularly for the work? And are we witnessing to those around us by our example? So continue to work with God in refining us and in perfecting us and preparing us to rule in God's kingdom. All of this is part of the work that God is doing with us. He has given us the resources. He has given us everything, encouragement. He's given us his spirit, and we are to continue working. Let's notice a scripture, another scripture in the New Testament, a scripture of encouragement, and that's found in Philippians 1, verse 6. Let's turn to Philippians 1, verse 6. Let's go back to verse 3. We'll start in verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So what a wonderful promise that is, isn't it? That God has promised us that he will complete his work in us. But we must be working. Now I'd like to go back to Haggai and let's pick up where we left off. And I'd like to start in verse 7 and just to cover something here. In verse 7, it says, God says, I will shake all nations and they shall come to the desire of all nations. There's been some controversy as to what that means. Some commentaries say that the desire of all nations is Jesus Christ himself. And others say that the desire of all nations are going to be the nation's wealth and power. They're going to bring that to Jerusalem, and it is in terms of offerings and gifts to God when they see the temple in Jerusalem. Let's just turn to a couple of scriptures that may corroborate that. Let's go just back to the previous book in Zephaniah, Zephaniah 3, verse 10. There's a slight reference to that here. It says, for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language that they may all call on the name of the Lord to serve him with one accord. So it's talking about people going to Jerusalem and serving God. And it says, from beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshipers, the daughter of my dispersed ones, shall bring my offering. Another scripture that we can go to in reference to this scripture in this verse 7 here about the desire of all nations is Zechariah 14, 16. And we're familiar with this scripture. It's talking about the nations coming up to worship God. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of the nations which came up to Jerusalem shall go up from year to year and worship the King and the Lord of hosts and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And they will be bringing offerings. So the scripture in verse 7 of Haggai could refer to Christ himself. Either way, Jesus Christ is going to be ruling from Jerusalem. We'll be there as well. And Nations will come up and worship the king from all over, and they will bring their gifts and their offerings and their precious things. Let's go to verse 9 now in Haggai, chapter 2, verse 9. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. So he was encouraging the people, even though they saw that, well, this temple that is being rebuilt isn't anywhere near as glorious as Solomon's temple. God is assuring him that the glory of the latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. So we see some of these scriptures are prophetic. When nations will go up to Jerusalem and they will worship God in his temple and they will bring their gifts, and Jesus Christ will be there ruling all nations. God wanted the temple to be rebuilt, and he said he had the resources to do it. He says in verse 8 here, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. So God has all the resources, all the gold and the silver. But he was looking for willing hands. The message to us is that we must be continually willing and available for God's work in our own lives and in the world. Okay, verse 10. This is a little different section now, and a little different message here. This message was delivered in verse 10. It says the 24th day of the ninth month. Okay, this was in December, and again, this was 520 BC when the people began rebuilding the temple. I'm going to read this from the Living Bible, verse 10, because it makes it maybe a little bit sharper. Oh yeah, it says here, in early December, in the second year of the reign of King Darius, this message came from the Lord through Haggai, the prophet. Ask the priest this question about the law. If one of you is carrying a holy sacrifice in his robes and happens to brush up against some bread or wine or meat, will it too become holy? No, the priest said. Holiness does not pass to other things that way. Then Haggai said, but if someone touches a dead person and so becomes ceremonially impure and then brushes against something, does it become contaminated? And the priest said, yes, it does. Then Haggai made this meaning clear. You people, he said, speaking for the Lord, were contaminating your sacrifices by living with selfish attitudes and evil hearts, and not only your sacrifices, but everything else that you did as a quote-unquote service to me. And so everything you did went wrong, but all is different now because you have begun to build a temple. You see, God gave them encouragement right away as soon as they responded and repented and began to work on the temple. Before, when you expected a 20-bushel crop, there were only 10. When you came to draw 50 gallons from the olive press, there were only 20. I rewarded all your labor with rust and mildew and hail, yet even so you refused to turn to me, says the Lord. So God was making it clear here in this section that holiness will not rub off on others, but contamination will. The activities in the temple would not clean up their sin. Only repentance and obedience could do that, and that's what God was calling for, and the people were responding. So let's go to verse 18. Okay. Consider now from this day forward, from the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Again, God is telling them to consider. Consider your ways. Consider the situation. Is the seed still in the barn? As yet the vine, the fig tree, the pomegranate, the olive tree have not yielded fruit. But from this day forward, God again encourages them, I will bless you. And God encourages us too as we work for him. The last section of the book of Haggai is verses 20 through 23. And this, let's go ahead and read this. And again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, and I'm going to read this from the Living Bible too, verse 21. Tell Zerubbabel, the governor of Judah, I'm about to shake the heavens and the earth and to overthrow thrones and destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the nations. I will overthrow their armed might, and brothers and companions will kill each other. That has happened, and it will happen in the future. But when that happens, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, and honor you like a signet ring upon my finger, for I have specially chosen you, says the Lord of hosts. And he says that to each of us too. He has specially chosen us. What a tremendous affirmation to Zerubbabel. I have chosen you. Now let's go to Ephesians 1:4, just to refer to one scripture where God says he has chosen us. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. Oh, we'll start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So here is a reference to how God has chosen us as well. And this should help us to see our value in God's eyes. We're very precious and very valuable in God's eyes. A signet ring, a signet was a seal, and a signet ring was very valuable. It was a ring that was used to imprint a stamp of authority in some melted wax. So it represents great authority. Now, some of these verses, and this verse as well, is prophetic. He was talking to Zerubbabel, but also there is a reference here to Jesus Christ, who will rule in Jerusalem. And as a matter of fact, Jesus Christ is a descendant of Zerubbabel. You can read that in Matthew 1 and verse 13 when you look at the, but in Matthew 1, verse 13, you can see that Jesus Christ on Joseph's side is a descendant of Zerubbabel. Let's notice what God says in Hebrews 1:3 concerning Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is a signet in the hand of the Father. Hebrews 1:3. Well, let's go back to verse 2. In these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he made the worlds, who, being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, speaking of Christ, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. So this last scripture is to Zerubbabel, but is also prophetic, referring to Jesus Christ, who will rule from the temple in Jerusalem in the millennium. As we read the book of Haggai and how he spoke to and he encouraged the Jews to finish the work at hand, the building of the temple, we see that in the same way he's speaking to us. Not to become weary, not to become discouraged, but to be zealous and excited and continuing in the work of building our temple and in the work that we are doing now, because there will be wonderful results from what we are doing right now. We don't see a lot of people coming into the church at this particular time, but there's going to be a time when there will be a lot of people responding. And it will be the result of some of what we are doing now, God doing through us. Okay, so we're encouraged to finish the work he has given us to do collectively and also individually in our own individual temple. When the exiles first returned from Babylon, they set about rebuilding the temple right away. They were excited. They were on fire. They had their first love. They began strong with great enthusiasm, but when opposition and resistance came, they slipped in some wrong attitudes, and the work came to a standstill. In the same way, let each of us have Haggai speak to us that we be on our guard, that we keep our priorities straight, that we remain active in our service to God, and we put first things first. He encourages us as well to consider our ways and to keep building. Haggai's message to the people sought to get their priorities straight, help them to quit worrying, and motivate them to rebuild the temple. When we respond to God, and we've all responded to God, he is pleased, and he promises strength, he promises guidance and help when we give him first place in our lives. Let's keep our hearts set on what is right and do it. We are nearing the end of the work now, of our work right now, this phase. We can finish wholeheartedly and with joy as we anticipate God's soon coming kingdom.